today the message is called. Yeah, it's just the title's called. As a disciple of Jesus, there's a calling. Each one of you has a calling. And the passage is from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. And it says this, as a prisoner of the Lord. And when you're a prisoner of the Lord, this is one, a place where you're a prisoner is good. When you're a prisoner of the Lord, say to your neighbor, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. Okay? I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. To live that life worthy of the calling that you have received. And I say this, I speak to you, because I 100% believe this truth. Okay, this is true. And I just want to say to this church, you are the greatest resource we have in Catalyst. Yeah, thank you. You got to believe this. You have to believe this. You are the greatest resource that we have in Catalyst. This building does not compare. Okay, this building, this nice building does not compare, okay, to you. The money that we have in the bank, it does not compare. You are so many thousands of times more important, right, in this church than the savings that we have in the bank. And I say this because I believe this, you are more important than the pastor of this church. GSS, I see she's smiling and agreeing, the greatest, it is you, the Holy, why? Because it's not about one person. The Holy Spirit does not flow through building or money or one person. The Bible says Holy Spirit flows through the church, right? It flows through the church. And God moves through his people. And there's a great calling that's on our life. No one person could do it. It's impossible. Right? Because God's calling is so great. Right? And in human terms, it's impossible. But together, God says, if we know how to work together as a body of Jesus Christ, God will do the impossible through us. He will do the impossible through us. So today, to release that in a faith, I want to talk about calling. God has this call for every disciple of Jesus Christ. And when I say calling, I'm not talking about full-time ministry. I'm not talking about full-time ministry. I'm not talking about somebody going to missions like Africa. I'm not talking about a calling to some specific work. Right? But a calling that we all have, you and I have, okay? Even a baby has, a calling that we have as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Okay? As a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I have 3 points. The calling that we have in Christ, number one, we're called children of God. Okay? We're called children of God. Say that to your neighbor. So 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says this, see what great love the Father has lavished on us. Okay, when the Bible, when God refers to himself as a father, when God refers to the church as a family, is usually to emphasize love. Okay, it's to emphasize love. I know, if you come from a broken family, when you think of father, it's demanding. No, not in the Bible. Not the heavenly father. When the Bible talks about father, your heavenly father is talking about love, okay, how much God loves you. So see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. That is what we are. Okay, that is what we are. Say to your neighbor, that is what we are. Okay? And so, what does it mean to be a child of God? Okay? This is so important, because when you know that you're called to be children, when you're called to be a child of God, you're called, not just information, not just Bible information, not just Bible knowledge, but it goes deeper. I am called to be a child of God. Okay? Then what happens is you start to see yourself the way God sees you. Right? When you know that you're called to be a child of God, you start to see yourself the way God sees you. Okay? Not eyes of, you know, brokenness. Not eyes of filtered through bitterness and frustration and sin. You know, the Bible says that we are all sinners. Yes, we're all sinners, but that's not our identity. When you start seeing yourself through the eyes of God and what God has done for you, you realize you're forgiven. Okay? And that you're redeemed, that you're cleansed, and that you're sanctified. Your identity is not sin anymore, or as a sinner, but the new life that you have in Christ. And you do not identify yourself with your failure. Okay? Some of you still identify yourself with past failures 10 years ago, 20 years ago, last week. But when you say, I am called a child of God, that's not your identity anymore. And I'm going to say, even your future failures. Do I hear an amen? Huh? Even your future failure. Why? Because God knows all things. Okay? He knows all things. He knows the future. Okay? He knows you more than anybody else can know, even yourself. He knows he knows the past, he knows the present, he knows the future, he knows everything that's gonna happen. And he's in control, the Bible says. He's in control. So, you know, we worry about, you know, the election, we worry about finance, we worry about job, we worry about our kids, our child, we worry about our marriage, we worry about right? God, when you see him, he's not freaked out. Huh? He's not stressed. Huh? He's not worried. Huh? Because he knows all, and guess what? He knows your future failures. Huh? It's not like he's going to be surprised. He knows your future failures. Huh? And so, but you do not see yourself through that glass. You do not see yourself through that filter. Right? But the way you got to see yourself is, I am a child of God, meaning you got to be firm in the adoption that you are adopted into God's family. You are adopted into God's family. And when you are adopted into God's family, okay, this is why it's important, you have this divine security. Huh? You have this divine security. This is how you know. If you are convinced that you're called to be a child of God, there's this divine security. When you are a child of God, okay, all this truth is true to you. Okay? When you know that you're called to be a child of God, that God loves you, that you are valuable to God, that you belong to God, that God is with you, that God is working in you, and God will never forsake you. He will never leave you. Huh? This is God's kingdom, God's family. Huh? Human family, because of brokenness, there's abandonment, there's neglect, there's rejection. But if you know that you're called into God's family, there's the security. There's the security. And if you know that you're called into God's family, you know that there's this spiritual inheritance. You are an heir of the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Okay? That not just you're loved, but that you have God's authority, God's power. The Bible says, you are more than a conqueror. Okay? But what happens is, okay, you know, if being a child of God is just an information, you just think about all the brokenness, okay? All the rejection of the past, all the neglect, all the lost, all the abuse, all the betrayal. And so, I'm asking you, church, stand firm in your calling as a children of God. Stand, you got to stand firm in this truth. Stand firm. Your call as a child of God. So the brokenness is our past, all our mistakes, our sin, our rejection, our self, our abandonment. And as a child of God now, if you're a child of God, you could discern what's what. I want you to know, you could discern it. You could discern the voice of condemnation. You could discern the voice of shame. You could discern the lies because you're a child of God. And not only discern, if you're called, you're called to do this as a child of God. Renounce those lies. Renounce the shame. Renounce the condemnation. Forgive the rejection. Forgive the betrayal. Forgive the neglect. Renounce the devil and his works. And receive the truth. And what's the truth? You need to make this choice. If you're called to be a child of God, you're called. They're saying you need to do this. What you need to do, make this commitment. I will not listen to lies that will attack my identity in Christ. I will not let lies define me. Instead, I'm going to listen to truth. I'm going to listen to revelation of God. I'm going to listen to scripture. If you see yourself as a servant, you're going to go back and forth. Did you know that? Would you be secure if you're a slave in a house? Because you don't see that as it's a master, not a father. You know, for any mistake, they could get mad at you. They could kick you out. They could, you know, they could shame you. They could abuse you for any mistake if you're a servant in a house. But God says, you're no longer servant. You're sons and daughters of God. And as sons and as daughters of God, stop acting like servants. You need to reject the lies. And make a commitment and listen to the truth and live by the truth. Amen? Number two, your call to the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, you're called to the power of the, power of the Holy Spirit. Number two. So say that to your neighbor. So Isaiah 61, I didn't put that passage up there because it's a long chapter. Isaiah 61 talk to us about power. I believe biblical power of God, that is the power of the Holy Spirit. When we think about power of the Holy Spirit, it's more than, you know, you go to a meeting and you see this powerful man and woman of God. I saw this one time in the meeting. This person just goes, and they all fall. And people came out going, what power? Wow, they were just amazed that they said power. But Isaiah 61, it says, when the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord comes upon you, when the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord comes upon you, okay, when you have the power of the Holy Spirit, it says you start to bind up the brokenhearted, you proclaim freedom for the captive, and you release people from darkness. Okay? This power of the Holy Spirit, right? Because now you know that you're loved, you're a child of God, you're completely accepted, you're completely forgiven, right? God's never going to kick you out. Okay? He's your father, but he doesn't stop there. Okay? What is it? You will have the power of the Holy Spirit so that you will no more be instrument of conflict. You will no more be instrument to spread hurt. You will no more be instrument to spread brokenness. But the Bible says in Psalm 61, we are covered with the crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, garment of praise instead of spirit of despair. That Holy Spirit power, when it comes to you, verse 4 and 7 says, they will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the place long devastated. There, with the power of the Holy Spirit, you look at an area of your life, you look at the church, you look at the world, you look at the government, you look at different, things, you look at your heart and you go, it's long devastated. There's no hope. It's just been long devastated. But when you have the power of the Holy Spirit, it says you will rebuild the ancient ruins. Instead of shame, my people will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. They will rejoice in their inheritance. When you have God's power, you cease to be stuck in brokenness. Okay? You cease to be stuck. You are called to not just God heals you and sets you free, but every disciple of Jesus Christ has the power of the Holy Spirit, and God's going to use you to bring healing and freedom to others around you. Huh? Can you believe? Can you think about it? Just receive it. Believe this with faith. Huh? Because the enemy will come and go, no, you're too broken. You're going to make too many mistakes in the future. You're going to continuously struggle. No, you can't. You won't be able to. No, God's not going to use you that way. Tell the devil to be quiet. I'm a child of God. I'm going to stop listening to that lie. And I am called to the power of God. You see, when you look at the New Testament church, you see this happen. In the book of the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, you see the apostles, the disciples, they're struggling, they're doubting, they lack faith. And then what happened? Jesus tells his disciple, wait for the Holy Spirit. But power of the Holy Spirit. And you see in the book of Acts is another title for the book of Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. Okay? And the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and the disciples receive great power for living the Christian life. They are more effective in their witness and in their ministry. There's much greater power for victory over the influence of sin in the lives of all believers. There's power for victory over the devil and the demonic force that would attack the believers. You see that happen in the book of Acts. But at the same time, I'm saying this to encourage you. You're going to first hear, why is he saying? But then also, the book of Revelation talks about different churches in the New Testament church. And there's a lot of bad things going on. There's heresy. There's, just so many bad things going on in the New Testament church. I think there's only one church that God didn't criticize. Out of all the New Testament church. So what that means, and you see the book of Acts, huh? You see the brokenness, you see the mistakes, you see the failure, but this is what I'm calling you to believe. Doesn't matter. God's still going to work in you. Huh? He's going to still work in you. Can you imagine a God who knows all your future failure? All your future failures. He knows it. And he still said, I love you. I'm still going to use you. If I heard that from my father, my biological father, I think growing up, if I heard that from my father, I believe As a child, I could conquer the world. I could conquer the world. But your Heavenly Father is saying that to you. He's saying that to you. In the New Testament, the disciples were called, right? And this is the call that Jesus gave to his disciple, right? When they were faced, right after tremendous failure. Tremendous failure. They all ran away. Right? And then Jesus resurrects and comes back. And he tells them, go and make disciples of all nations. Go and make disciples of all nations. You know, the New Testament church, some of you are going, well, you know, you don't understand, okay, what the New Testament church faced. You say, oh, the government is so corrupt. United States government, they're so corrupt. They were under the Roman Empire. The most violent. You know what they did? They crucified hundreds of people to go to Jerusalem. You think our government was corrupt? The Roman Empire was tremendously corrupt. Right? Oh, you know, there's so much racism now. Did you ever go back to that time? When a nation conquered a nation, they put everybody in slavery. Everyone. Jerusalem, the Jews wouldn't even talk to a Gentile. They wouldn't even step foot into their home if you're from other countries. They weren't even allowed into the inner place in the temple, only in the outer court, outer court. There's so much racism. There's so much legalism, you know, nowadays. If you grew up in Jerusalem, you know how legalistic they were? So legalistic that Jesus looked at the legalism of the leaders and he said, you brood of vipers. They also faced persecution. Their leaders were killed, martyred. Members were put in prison. They were locked up. And in the midst of all this, the barriers are broken through the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. Supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. You know, so the mindset of the New Testament church, they believed, okay, even in the midst of persecution, legalism, racism, you know, in the midst of corrupt government, they believed that they could reach the world. They believed they could reach the world together. Huh? Why? They believed they were called to have the power of they had the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? Say to your neighbor, I have the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Say to your neighbor again, I have the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Say to your neighbor, you have the power of the Holy Spirit. That power is so great, wow, it overcomes racism, you know, it overcomes corrupt government, it overcomes persecution, it overcomes our failures. That's power. Number three, you're called to love. Say to your neighbor, you're called to love. Okay. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 5 says this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Now, when the Bible talks about humility, it's not talking about insecurity. Okay? Humility, by the example of Jesus, when there's this humility, you're able to think about others. When you're insecure, you're only able to think about yourself. Okay? When you are proud, you're only able to think about yourself. But when you are humble, It leaves room in your heart, not self anymore, but it pushes self out. Humility, that's what it means. It pushes self out so that it has room to think about others. Okay? And so it says, in humility, value. You see, if you don't have humility, you can't value others. In humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of other. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset of Christ. Right? So what the Bible's saying is that Jesus was not insecure, Jesus was not proud, but Jesus was humble. And that humility, we need to have that same mindset as Christ. So what was that mindset? You see, Jesus is God, right? He had divine power. He had divine, when somebody criticized him, in Jerusalem or in Galilee, you know what he could have done? He could have destroyed them. He could have made them be quiet. He could have done anything he wanted. Okay? If he didn't like something, he could have changed it right there because he had that divine power, right? But he didn't use his divine power for himself, but for others. Okay? And so, what love is, there's humility. Okay? And that humility, he doesn't use that divine power for himself, but for others. That's what the Bible says in verse 6 and 7. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. To that divine power, it wasn't for himself. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Of a servant. He humbled himself. Right? So what the Bible says is he humbled himself. So that means he uses power for others. And then he took the ultimate servanthood, meaning he died for mankind. In other words, Jesus loved the whole world. How are you going to show love? There has to be humility, and there has to be servanthood. That's how you show love. This is what Jesus modeled. Jesus had the power to do whatever he wanted to as God, but Jesus, he knew his calling. The Bible says God didn't use his power for himself, but he humbled himself and he gave his life as a servant to die for the world. That's what the Bible says, for God loves the whole world. Okay? Call to love means using what God has given you. Not for self, but becoming a servant. Being a servant means using what God has given you for others. For others. Using your abilities, resources, your strength, your gifts, your talent, your passion, your uniqueness. Not for self-glory. Not for people's applause. Not for fame, not for selfishness, not for personal comfort, but for others, okay? For others. See, legalism asks is, how little can I give my time, my effort, my resource, my money, and get away with it? Love asks, how much more can I give of my time, effort, resource, and money? Okay? With that is love, okay, my feeling is we can only do that if you're touched by God's love. Okay? And when you're touched by God's love fills our heart and it overflows. But, thing about serving and humility, it's not easy. And after a while, we don't do it from the overflow of God's love. We do it from pressure. We do it from stress. We do it because of people's opinion. We do it to fill our own need of, you know, just the brokenness. We do it for all those reasons. But I want to remind the disciples of Jesus, you're not supposed to do ministry that way. You're called to love the way God loved you. This is a calling. It's not an option. It's not an option. You know, our life is supposed to be like a river, not a reservoir. And when you come to Catalyst, this is, you know, let's try to work at this. I hope what motivates you to come here is not the programs, okay? It's not the convenience. You know, when I first saw this building, my mind and the reason I love this building so much is so convenient. You know why? All the major highway goes through this area. Did you notice that? If you look at the map, all the major highway. You know, we got 46, we got 80, 95 is only 5 minutes away. We got 17, we got Garden State Parkway. You know, we got all the major highway here. And so my thought is, you know, on Sunday when there's no traffic, that was my thought. On Sunday when there's no traffic, from anywhere in Bergen County, you could make it here in 15 minutes. That was my thought. Convenient. No? So convenient. But that's not what should motivate you. It shouldn't be the sermon either. You know, Pastor Sam message, you know, it's so convicting, it's so powerful, it's so relevant, it's so, thank you. thank you. Okay, I'll stop now. You know, the sermon. No. I hope that we come because we desire to love God more. And we desire the battery just ran out. But this is how we know it's God's love, right? If it's just human love, you could just love your family, okay? Your people in your house. Even non-believers could do that. But something about Christian love, it says you're able to also love the spiritual family, and it's not easy. That's a little bit harder. Because more people there is, you know, there's more brokenness, more dysfunction. Right? But we're called to love our spiritual family. But, you know, because this is God's love, it doesn't stop there. God calls us to love the community, people outside of this church. Okay? Love them. Not judge them, criticize them, condemn them, shame them, tell them they're sinners. You know, but see how God sees them as human beings. You know, this is what's going on in the culture now, you know. Everybody lives in their own tribe, and if you don't, you know, you gotta agree with everything in this tribe, or if you don't, you're evil. First, you gotta see them as human beings. They're created in God's image, God's likeness. That guy that put the grocery in your bag, he is created in God's image and likeness. That person who put gas at Costco in your car, that person is created in God's image and likeness. And so we're called to love the people in the community, but God's love is so amazing. As a disciple of Jesus, we're called to love the world. Okay. And so, as a church, this is my challenge to myself and to you. You know, I want to love. I want to be able to love my family more. I want to be able to love my church more. I want to be able to love my community more. I want to love my country more. I want to love this world more. And above all, this is our commitment. I want to love God more. Amen? Let's pray. This is a word for somebody here, you know. You've been carrying all the mistakes, you know, all your failure. You're also carrying all the condemnation. And you don't know what to do with it. Usually, you know, when somebody's carrying that much, all you could do is run away. Hide. And isolate yourself. God is saying, think differently to this person. You're not a failure. I'm not angry at you. Receive this truth. This is what God's saying to you. Hear him. He says, you are my son. You are my daughter. I have never forgotten you. I love you. And he's inviting you to come to him. And you know, the prodigal son, when he ran away, you know, he was so scared to come to the father. But what did the father do? He ran toward the son. And when he came, he just kissed him and hugged him. He was overjoyed. Father was not angry with the son. It's because if you're carrying all that brokenness, the shame, the failure, you don't need more. God knows that. You don't need more. He wants to lift that shame. He wants to lift that failure. He wants to forgive you. He wants to cleanse you. And he wants to give you a new life. And some of you, you've been, you know, you know this truth. But my challenge to you is not just knowing in your head. Live as though you're called to that truth. You're called to that truth. You could discern it. You could discern it. You know it. You could discern the lies and the truth. Renounce the lies. Reject it. And embrace the truth. Please believe that God, there's a Holy Spirit power in your heart that needs to be released. It needs to be released. This Holy Spirit power. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me to preach the good news. To set the captive free, to bind up the brokenhearted. To release people from darkness. To rebuild the ancient ruins. That is you. That's who you are. That 1 John 3:1 says, And that is what we are. That is what we are.